going to talk about individualism versus collectivism in evangelism. I'm sure that if there will be anything distinctive about this lecture, it will probably be the fact that I'm the only speaker who is able to get through his outline in the allotted time. Let's talk first of all about collectivism. Of all the prolific egg layers in the religious world, I suppose the concept of the Church Universal in organization and work is the champion Rhode Island Red of all time. And I suppose that an egg is a pretty good thing sometimes as long as it's an egg. But eggs hatch out, cause a lot of trouble. In fact, that concept has hatched so many chickens that they're scratching in everybody's ecclesiastical garden and waking up some people who'd like to sleep a lot later in the morning. And I suppose Brother Hamilton would tell you that there might even be a chicken scratching around up in the White House garden. And among my brethren, in about 1849, they hatched out an egg, and they called that thing the American Christian Missionary Society, from this concept of the Church Universal in organization and work. But that was a scrawny-looking chicken, and they wrung that thing's neck pretty soon. And then they hatched out another egg or two, or three or four, and finally they got the United Christian Missionary Society. But I wouldn't want you to think that that's the only national agency they have. You have the United Christian Missionary Society. Then you have the Board of Church Extension. You have the Board of Higher Education. You have the Brazil Christian Mission. You have the Commission on Brotherhood Finance. The Christian Board of Publication. Whatever that is, that's the National City Christian Church Corporation. You have the Council on Christian Unity, the Christian Men's Fellowship, have the Christian Women's Fellowship, the National Christian Missionary Conference, have the Christian Foundation, the Disciples of Christ Historical Society. That's where that fellow that spoke on intellectualism has his office, by the way, up in Nashville. I think, though, he's just writing his dissertation there. I bet it. Then you have the Christian Literature Commission. You have the Unified Promotion. You have the National Benevolent Association, and it takes a page to fill up the rest of that. You have the International Conference of the Christian Churches. Then you have Christ Mount Christian Assembly Incorporated. The National Evangelistic Association, the European Evangelistic Society, and the Religious Education Workers Fellowship, and 38 state and area societies. And that's not all, but I had a smaller flower board before I came, and that filled it out, so I didn't fill out the rest of it. And I don't know really how many local organizations they have. You're probably more familiar with that than I am. But this is not all. This is in the Christian church. And I said they're prolific egg layers. And they are. But they're connected with the ecumenical movement in the World Council of Churches. And of course, from the world standpoint, you have three organizations. World Council of Churches, the International Missionary Council, and the World Council of Christian Education. But on the national level, in the ecumenical movement, they have just one, all the eggs in this one basket, of the National Council of Churches. And in this movement, they have 4,101 state and local associations, and the point of all this, I suppose, is that the individual almost got left out. Well, looks pretty bad. But there's a lot of good there from the standpoint of human wisdom, a lot of good. I interviewed a number of Christian church preachers and talked about the UCMS because I really didn't know too much about it. So I'd call them up and get all those preachers down there in the study, and we'd have a real good session. So I asked them about some of these things, and you know, there's a lot of good about this. A lot of good. And let me point out one or two things, even though I'm not from Indianapolis, I'm not trying to convert you to any of this, but there's some good here from the standpoint of human wisdom. And at least in one way that there is good here, is that they say they run this thing pretty well. That they have a say in what's done through the conference, and if some of these officers don't do their job, the next year they get rid of it. So they have the very best men in the right places. And you know, they may beat us a little bit right there. Because I don't know if any of you people were consulted when they just recently appointed a new vice president for the Gospel Press. Was anybody, did they consult anybody here? And if he doesn't do a good job, is there anything you do about it? I don't know what I'd do. I don't even know who to go see. But they at least maybe have something good about this in that area, human wisdom, I suppose. And you know, they've got this business whip too about when you put in a nickel, you have to put a dollar in to see that the nickel gets overseas. They confidently affirm that that's no longer true. They say this, that for every dollar that's given for evangelistic purposes to the United Christian Missionary Society, a dollar and a half gets overseas. Or gets to the evangelist. That's their position. And by the way, they came pretty close to proving that thing to me, too. For every dollar that's given, they get a dollar and a half there. They've got that thing really set up. So from a human standpoint, I guess that's a pretty good outfit. They say now, as I use their terminology, that when you get ready to move, when you're looking for a promotion, that you may well get promoted on your merit, because they keep a folder of what you've accomplished, of the things you failed to accomplish. And when a congregation is looking for a preacher, why, they line them up. And if you're the man, why, you get to go with that big congregation. Might be something in that, too. Here's something that's a little bit different, too. And that is, when I ask these people about, well, now, who comes down from the UCMS and tells you how much you're to give and beats the drum for this program, the Unified Promotion. And this amazed me. They said that nobody ever comes unless you write to the secretary and ask somebody to come. And that's a little bit different than I found it in the churches of Christ. In some areas, anyway. And as I've been reading now about the president and what he says and all those preachers that I've talked with, I can't find a one who will claim that local autonomy is violated in any area by the United Christian Missionary Society. So from the standpoint of human wisdom, they may have us beat. May have us beat. In fact, I'm about ready to affirm that. I'm not going to be too definite because somebody might take me up. But let me take these down, a few of them anyway. And there are a lot of good, as I say, in a lot of these. In fact, I've been wondering about our Christian Board of Publication for a long time. Maybe we get both sides heard. But get some of these down. I don't know. I'll use the excuse that I won't talk when I've got my back to you, you won't hear, but I really can't do both things at once. Well, I'd hate to leave it right there, really, and say, well, now that's what's good about it, and not tell you what's wrong with it. Because there is something wrong with this outfit. And at the risk of seeming to be too original, I'd like to submit this argument to you. God told Noah to build an ark of gopher wood. He said, build the ark of gopher wood, and when he thus specified gopher wood, that eliminated the fine. I guess you've heard that argument. When those boys in Leviticus 10 were to offer incense unto God, they were to use fire from off the altar. And when those boys used strange fire, God didn't like it. And that's putting it mild. When it comes to the standpoint of music to be used in the Christian worship, I understand that God has specified singing, and that eliminates play. One more time now. I come to this matter of preaching the gospel from a collective standpoint. And I understand that the plan is the congregational plan rather than the federal plan, either under a board of directors or a sponsoring eldership. And the reason I know that is Philippians 1:1 and Philippians 4:15, where it is the saints with the bishops and the deacons and the church was doing this very work in evangelism. And that's why I know it's specified. Well, let's look at that thing again. What's wrong with pine in the ark? Now, some of my liberal brethren, and I'll talk about that in a minute if I think about it again. Some of my liberal brethren, if they were there, they say, now, Noah, you can't build your ark out of pine. Why not? It's not as buoyant. It's too hard to get to it. It's not very convenient for you. It doesn't work too good and doesn't look too good as you get it in the ark. That's not what's wrong with the pine. The thing that's wrong with a pine is it's outside of what God said, God specified, but the wood. That eliminated the pine. Well, we come again. So if they're consistent now, some of my liberal brethren, I have an idea, would say, well, now, boys, you don't want to go out to the camp and get the fire. Why not? Well, it's not hot enough, if such is possible. Or it's less convenient, or it's sooty, or some reason like that. And that's the reason that you oughtn't to get the fire over there. But that's not the reason those boys shouldn't get the fire there. They should get the fire off the altar because God specified the kind of fire that it was. That's the reason. And it comes to this matter of music. And the same thing is true. God said, sing, and we leave the piano off not because it's less inspiring, because it's less beautiful, but because God has specified what He wanted in Christian worship, and that eliminated the piano. We come now to preach the gospel. And it's the congregation. What's wrong with it? Well, I'll tell you, the Missionary Society just won't do. And why won't it do? Well, I've got the answer right here. I have the Magna Carta of liberalism, We Be Brethren, by J.D. Thomas. And on page 35, where the society functions, it dominates and controls the congregations which make up its membership. That's not what's wrong with the Missionary Society. And when you look at Brother Pulius's No Pattern Tract, that's the argument. When you look in the confessional columns of the Gospel Advocate, why are they changed? That's their argument. But that's not what's wrong with them. In fact, I suppose there may be more said for the UCMS than can be said for our plans and schemes of centralization. The thing wrong with it is God specified the congregational plan, and that eliminated the federal plan. Well, I guess I ought to have a little more authority for those people who don't want to misrepresent us anyway. So I have here the Christian Evangelist, which is the liberal voice of the Christian Church. And I read here in italics, right, come. God's people can do anything they want to do. Got that? God's people can do anything they want to do. And I read the rest of the article, and I see just how they got into. They get into the building the same way that my Calvinistic friends do when they debate this business of the impossibility of apostasy. They come in the back door. And this is the same way that it is. God's people can do anything they want to do. But you know, I've surely made a mistake. Because stuck within this Christian evangelist was a gospel advocate, and I read that instead. But it still said, and here it is, the advocate. God's people can do anything they want to do on the property. Now that didn't surprise you, maybe, when it was out of the evangelist. But that's the truth of it. And I believe the very heart of liberalism. Well, got one more card about this. I'm a legalist, though, really, if I say these things. And I find that on page 169 and 216, this same book. In fact, if I use the word liberal, I am mean and full of hate. But let me say this about this position. That if building the ark out of gopher wood made Noah a legalist, then put me down at the top of the list. I'm a legalist. That's what I am. I didn't know I was called that. That's what it is. That's what it is. That's all I know. If that makes him an antipride, I'm antipride if I'd live there. And I would as soon defend that position, I believe, as defend it from down here about the music that my brother been talking about a long time. And if that's legalism, fine. We're legalists because we sing and do not play. I'm a legalist. That's what I am. If that's what that is. And I really didn't delve too far into that thing, find out if I really were not afraid of it. But the same thing would be true if I follow God's plan in preaching the gospel in a cooperative way through the congregation. If I'm a legalist there, I'm a legalist. Period. I'm not ashamed of it, if that's what really makes me. I'm not ashamed of it. Well, let me take these down. Start off. We talked about these things, really, I suppose, somewhat from the standpoint of denominationalism. But now I'd like to talk about the Church of Christ cooperative. Okay. Putting on the sign, I understand. And we've got some of these things. We've got an organization that I call My Foot Bill. That's the Million for the Billion campaign. And of course you're familiar with Hots. I'm sure. But let's talk about, if we can, this business of the Herald of Truth in just a minute. Here I have a sponsor for the Herald of Truth up here. And I have payola. That's a small congregation between DeLand and Sanford. Just a little out there. Then we've got Jefferson Street over in Orlando and Kissimmee. And I know something about these groups, and that's why I got them up here. And I knew that I'd come from that area, they'd want me to represent them a little bit. So, let's talk about it from that standpoint a little bit. Well, let's see what happens. Well, Jefferson Street sends some money up to Highland. They owe that little group of dozen or so sends some money up there. Kissimmee sends some money to Highland. And Jefferson Street is sending money already to Kissimmee to help support their preacher, I understand. But Jefferson Street decides, when I turn my television on in Central Florida, I can't get the Herald of Truth, so they decide to re-sponsor it. So Jefferson Street's now the sponsor. So Kissimmee sends some money back to Jefferson Street. Payola sends some money back. Highland then sends them the film, and then I can turn the television set to Channel 9 on Sunday morning and see B.B. Baxter in Chester in Romeo and Juliet. Well, I've got My Foot Bill still up here. And there's a sponsor of sponsoring churches out somewhere in Oklahoma. And they're in the business of sponsoring churches. so that they can send some preachers over here to aid you.
Well, now, how does that work?
Well, let's see. These sponsors or sponsors send the information over here to Jefferson Street,
Hale,
and to Kissimmee, all around, saying we need so much money to do this work. And so, Jefferson Street and these others, they're just using them for example. I wouldn't want to hurt anybody's feelings at all. Could use some others. And so, Jefferson Street sends down to the sponsoring church, and then the sponsoring church sends up here to, I think I can do without that. The sponsoring church then sends the report back to the sponsor of the sponsors, and then the sponsoring church sends that on out. And you can do this. I've done this now with Jefferson Street, but you could do it with all of them together. But Jefferson Street maybe decides that she wants to be a sponsor of that thing. So the sponsoring church decides, well, they sent us some, so we'll send them some back. And, of course, this outfit's sending out the information. They're sending back the report. And then when the money is sent to them, the sponsoring church says, well, we sent so much money back over here to Jefferson Street as well as received so much money. And the thing gets confused. In fact, I guess that we ought to call on that intellectual who talked on intellectualism to come up here and make sure we got all these arrows pointing in the right way. I'm sure he probably straightened it out. And really, we haven't even begun to begin. And this is only in the realm of two projects, and we've only really discussed it from the standpoint of one congregation in the middle. And when you begin to multiply this a few times, I guess the point I'm trying to make is, you almost lose sight of the individual. That's really the point, I suppose. Could be possible. Well, let me take that down. Talk about one other thing, anyway. She'll never get that back together. But I suppose that I'd be misrepresenting these brethren if I didn't say that they believe that they were building upon the doctrine of Christ. So, let's see this building they're building down here, and the foundation is the authority of the Lord. We'll put up here the pillars on which they build. And this is a part that they're building with. To get in. So now we have some walls on that building. That's more you say for this building. Somebody said something about from the confines of the walls of this building. I haven't figured that one out yet. It's all roof. But you get along here with the Million for the Billion campaign and the Herald of Truth. Then you come along, you have David Lipscomb College, and I guess you know that the church can't get along without David Lipscomb College, and I've used that for no one. Now, take a piss at that. But I suppose you know they can't by their own admission get along. The churches can't get along without David Lipson College. And I suppose you have the Gospel Press over here, and that is getting quite famous in some circles anyway. And so you got your building, to some extent anyway. And that's the building that some of my brethren dwell in. Now, they do that. In all honesty, some of them, I'm sure. Many of them, I'm sure. But then there's another group of brethren who also declare their building upon the authority of Christ. But they believe that when you build upon the authority of Christ, that you're going to have a scripture. And so we have some scriptures of 1 Peter 5, verse 2, where there's elders, where there's Tim, the flock of God that was among them. And they begin to say, this is building upon the authority of Christ because we have scripture for it. And that might eliminate or make more difficult some of these things we have over here. Or Paul talks to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20:28. Those people there had an obligation to the church over which the Holy Spirit made them bishops. Looks like it's Ephesus. That might give some other difficulty. Also, some of these brethren believe in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, that it is the responsibility of the parents to educate the children. and not for the congregation to send them money that they could lift and cost. And also in the passage we read in Philippians 1, when the gospel is being preached in a cooperative way, it is the church, the congregation, that's the citizen. That just eliminates just a whole lot of things. And this is built, and the way you get in this building, I suppose, is 2 Timothy 3, with this attitude toward the Scripture. These brethren believe that every Scripture is God-breathed, and that it furnishes a man of God complete unto every good work. And that's the way you get into that building. That's it. And by the way, that's about all of it in that sense. Well, how do you get in this other building? I'll tell you. You get in through the Gospel Advocate Confessional Conference. It may be that some of you are contemplating getting in that building, and by the way, you'll finally get there just that way if you do. Be reading about it. But now, I believe that they're different. I sincerely believe they're different. And I believe that the thing that's different is this passage in 2 Timothy 3, that the Scriptures furnish the man of God complete to every good work. And that is the difference. But what authority do you have over here? Didn't have a Scripture. Well, I've got it. All you have to do is, according to J.D. Thomas, is to draw a wavy line down the middle of the paper. And anything that's good common sense that you think that is a good work, you just put it on one above or below the line, and that you just all said. And so a whole book was written with this in mind. Well, I talked to another friend of mine, and he says, I suppose just a good work. That's all it takes. Good work when this is the work. Now, it doesn't have to be circumscribed by the Scriptures. Any good work that you can think of that you think's good, good common horse sense, that's it. And that's a major argument up around the country where I held a meeting or two. Another fellow writes a pamphlet. He said, there's just no pattern. And that's really what they're building on now. This is the mainstay. This is it. This is where they put that building. And you know, the fellow said, you ought to have seen those cartoons at Birmingham, and you would have been convinced. I saw them. I was there. Didn't convince me of much, except the fellow wasn't a very good cartoonist. As you can see, I'm not very good at lettering. And this is where they've been. This is where they've been. Now, there's a lot of things that we don't have that's grand and glorious in the conservative group. But we have one of the most grand and glorious things in the world. And that is, we have the grandest termite that the world has ever known in James B. Miller. And some of my brethren have called Brother Miller a termite. And if it is, if you remember from last year, is when you see one termite in the open, there's a million in the woods. And that's about right. But this is a serious position right here. Because when I rely upon the weighty line, I get rid of that much of the doctrine of Christ and His authority. When I have to go to human wisdom to build my house, that much of the authority of Christ is gone. When I have to go to any good work that seems good to me, outside of God's Word, I lose again that much more of the authority of Christ. And the same is true when you come to this business of the no patterns, or the perfume, and when you get the name calling, you don't have much left. And that's what you're building on. And as I remember the Sermon on the Mount, that's not the rock that Jesus was talking about that stood. That's not it. Well, one more thing. understand it. There's a Catholic every now and then on television who has an angel to erase his board. We're not so fortunate. But let's examine this one other way. Because it is a serious thing. And look at it like this. I believe that it's this simple, personally. And that is, I remember that a boy one time was told to offer the firstlings of the flock. And you know, it may be that that boy had to use a knife to do it with. I don't know what he used. Might have just used a rock. But if his brother was like a lot of my brethren, he would have come over and he said, "Now, look at that. You used a rock or a knife or something, and you didn't have authority to do that. The Lord just said you offer now this lamb," we'll say. And he didn't say to offer to use a knife, and therefore, I'll offer a potato. And then, God didn't like it. God wouldn't have it. But God said, "Do this, and it has to be done." All right, let's look again. We come to this matter of singing. And in some places, not too much here, they use books. Psalm books. And some of my friends tell me, in fact, some of that outfit I had together in the study that locked the door, they were using this. You use a psalm book, so we'll use a piano. Pretty good argument. In fact, you said it this way. You don't have any authority for the soul book any more than we have authority for the piano. That's really the way it's saying. So we leave it there. We come to this command now. These are commands of God. Come to the command to assemble together. And some of my brethren meet under the shade tree, maybe, or they might rent or buy or build a meeting place, doing what God has said. Now, you've got a meeting house. You don't have any authority for the meeting house, and we don't have any authority for the swimming pool either. And I guess everybody feels they're a lot better off because nobody has any authority. Then I remember reading 2 Corinthians 11, chapter, Philippians 4, that it's all right to support a preacher. And so to meet his needs, maybe they'll put him up a house. Someone said, "You don't have any authority for the preacher's house. We don't have any authority for the sponsoring church, so everything's just fine." Now that won't do at all. Because of this. At least I know one or two things. That when this argument is used, and it looks simple, I'm persuaded. But I dare say that with most people that I've talked with, this is 95% of it right here. This is 95% right here. When I'm in a business meeting with my brethren, this is the argument. Except I ought to preach with a little more love. And I know you brethren know better than that. But this is the argument. And when they use it, I know they don't have any scripture. I know that. I don't have to worry about handing him the book and say, "Find the scripture." Brother Brock made a trip here not very long ago up the country, and he asked this fellow for the scripture for these projects. And a number of brethren there, my brother among them. And he wouldn't tell them the scriptures, I understand. And Brother Buck got him a piece of paper out. He said, "You just have to come now to the meeting that we're going to have next week or the next night or two." Brother Brock couldn't come. He says, "I just can't be here. And so if you'll just write it on the scripture, on this little piece of paper, I won't even show it these other brethren. Just write that scripture down that authorizes these things." And when a fellow uses arguments like this, I think he don't have any scripture. Something else I know. That if he were to burn every songbook that my brethren owned, that you couldn't get a single piano out of a Christian church. They got what they want, and by the way, they don't want to have it. I know that too. Well, what about the individual? I'm not going to have much to say about this. Not because of time, I just don't know much to say. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." But
that may pretty soon be eliminated. How's that?
Well, I have here an editorial in the Christian Chronicle.
And on August the 4th, 1959, that's going to eliminate any necessity of you going out and preaching the gospel individually. How's that? Because by September 17th of this year, it won't be necessary for you to go out and teach anybody about the gospel or even sing an invitation song for the Alien Center at the close of your meetings. Because by September 17th, using the most conservative figures that have been given here, every Alien Center will be converted to the Church of Christ. And I just use that literally. I didn't misstate that. Because it seems here that 1 week's preaching on the hill of the truth is worth 64 years. Preaching by all the gospel preachers put together in reaching outsiders. And I have an idea that you can get that janitor to say that Brother Baxter was the best preacher in the Brotherhood, and therefore they ought to do it. If they can do as much as 64 years and reach that many people, they ought to do a whole lot more than my just common ordinary brethren ought to be able to do. So you can just close up. In fact, this is at the very heart of the thing that gets wrong with so many denominational groups. They lack the individual zeal to get out and teach because they've just been fed things like this. Don't think that all you have to do is just give them a dollar and everything's set. But you're going to have to go. You're going to have to preach the gospel individually. I was talking to a preacher in Jacksonville, and he came to see me. And I tried to bring this thing up, these issues up a little bit, and I talked, conversation, because I knew he ought to be interested, and I'd known him for a long time. I said, what about that? He says, Harold, I'll tell you. When anybody asks me how I stand on these issues, I just tell them, it's none of your business. A gospel preacher. I can imagine him saying, I don't know. I haven't really studied these things yet. I can see that. But it's none of your business. A preacher, a man in that business. I don't know how you get that analogy. I've been trying to work on it from the standpoint of a blacksmith. And you're trying to get him to ask me if he can shoe some horses. But I just can't get it down right yet. But here's the gospel preacher that says it's none of your business. Something of this divided church is everywhere. I don't know. Maybe it will. But this one other thought in this business of the individual. You know, because I preach every now and then, I get the idea when we talk about individuals, that means brethren, don't it? There's no preacher involved in it. But since it's just preachers and elders here, for the most part, some students, talking to preachers and elders now. My fellow preacher, my brother elder, you can't let Brother Cope do your work for you. Not in this area, anywhere. Brother Cope can just do his work. Brother Tamp can't do your work. Brother Coggle can't do your work. Brother Miller can't do your work. You know? Brother Haley can't do your work. You're going to have to do something. You are going to have to do something. Because no matter if they drop an hydrogen bomb out here in the bay and we all were to die at the same time, we'd die individually. And I meet the Lord individually on what I've done. I can't say, well, you ought to see what Brother so-and-so did. And what papers he wrote. Or what if he would stand there? Won't do me a bit of good. And I can preach that and it just bounces off of me. I can just say, look what we're doing, and I haven't done one thing, maybe. I'm talking about what some of my brethren really will stand what they've done. Go into all the world and preach the gospel every preacher. You're going to have to do it. September 17th, come here, and I imagine there'll still be a few in Volusia County for me to talk to.
I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to have to preach the gospel. No matter what kind of play they got on that day, we're going to have to preach the gospel. You're going to have to do it. And I'm going to have to take my stand. I'm going to have to stand. Having done all that I can, I'm going to stand right there. And nobody can stand for me. I'm going to have to stand by myself. Finally. Well, what's going to happen? Well, I can give you that answer. What's going to happen? You take heed to yourself, to your teaching. You continue in these things, and you'll save yourself. You can do that. And those that hear you. And finally, that's all you can do.